Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
With the clouds that were there and those rays of sunshine that call it down, they're commonly known as God fingers. That's what they're called. And the God fingers were there, and I was just in awe of this beautiful, just breathtaking sight. And don't you think it would have been a little funny as I was just there and I was thankful to God for this country, Tanzania, that we were in? I was thankful that I had the incredible opportunity to be there and to see it for God's creation, how beautiful and diverse it is. If someone had walked up and said, "It's not that surprising. I mean, it's just some cloud cover, man." Sometimes the clouds do that. It's not like a miracle. It's just the way that the light shines through the clouds and it makes it look like kind of cool, and that's the way it does it. And then there's shadows and the way your eyes receive it. And if they'd been able to explain to me the whole phenomena of the thing, it would have been a real bummer, right? Some of you know people like this, right? That whenever there's this moment that you're like, whoa. They want to say, well, really, this is what's going on. This is how this thing works. There's times for that where you're saying, how? And there's other moments where you're saying, wow, this is incredible. See, sometimes our posture of thankfulness is we try to explain something. We try and understand something. We try and rationalize something. We try to say, well, this is what this thing is. And this is how it operates, instead of saying, wow, thank you. Now, this doesn't mean that we walk around life or the world being ignorant. It doesn't mean that we escape facts or we say, well, I just don't care how things operate or move. But sometimes we say, yes, I can understand how it was, but I don't care about any of that right now. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you, God, for this space and this time. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about this morning is how do we get back to some of that? Or how do we continue to claim that in our day-to-day life? Some of you might look at this picture and say, well, of course you were saying, wow. You were in Tanzania at the Ngorongoro crater, looking at this incredible view and this incredible expanse. Duh. But you know what one of the most striking things about coming home was? In Tanzania, the area where we were, there's three mountains that they're the largest peaks in all of Africa. And if you didn't know, sometimes our maps don't do justice. Africa is massive. You can easily put North America in the upper corner of Africa. It's massive. And there's Mount Meru, and there's Mount Kilimanjaro. They're the largest peaks in the entire continent. And then I came home, and I saw Mount Hood. I'm like, yeah, that's just there. No, that would qualify as one of the largest peaks in all of Africa. And most of us get a view of it every day. We live in a beautiful space. We live in a space that should drop our jaw and we'd be forced to take a picture of every sunrise and sunset. We kind of roll our eyes and say, yeah, I've seen it before. Still there. How do we reawaken to the miracle that we are living in? And we take a posture of gratitude and thankfulness for it. Because if we wait for the miracle that's gonna happen to be thankful, we miss the one that's already here and right underneath our nose. To help illustrate that, we want to look at a piece of scripture this morning. Actually, before we do that, last week we had Janet talk to us. I just want to hit something because I think this is so important. I was so excited for Janet's message because I thought it was, we had talked about it a month and a half ago, and it kept on coming back to my head. If you missed it, one of the key points that we talked about is to be thankful without acknowledging our lack, acknowledging the areas we are. We call that denial. If we just say, well, everything's great and everything's awesome, I'm thankful for everything, and we don't say, no, these are the parts where things are painful, these are the parts where lack, that's denial. But if we're always acknowledging the lack and the place where we don't have and we feel incomplete or unsettled, and we never are thankful for any part of our lives, well, that's despair. See, being thankful doesn't mean that you ignore the tough parts. That's what we're talking about. Yes, these hard things are there, and I am thankful for these. And these cohabitate. They live together. I don't pick one or the other. It's a lot like a soundboard. Our soundboard back there in the back of the room. We don't just have buttons to turn things on and off. We have levers to turn things up and down. Sometimes the thankfulness in our lives needs to be increased a little bit. Sometimes our acknowledgement of our lack needs to be increased a little bit. But both things are there. We don't just turn one off and turn the other on and go back and forth. That is a big part of what we're talking about. Otherwise, all the church in this conversation has to offer is, how can you have a Pollyannaism about all your life? And your house is on fire, and you're like, yeah, but the garage isn't yet, you know? There's a way where being thankful is also acknowledging the parts of life that are really tough and hard. Are you with me? All right, so we are going to look at Luke this morning, the Gospel of Luke. If you brought your Bible with you, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're going to be looking at Luke 9. It's a miracle that we talked about before. It's a miracle you might be familiar with or you might be unfamiliar with, but it's a big one. If you write your Bible with you, we're going to start, and we'll get to why it's so important to talk about. So, if you write your Bible with you, we're going to start in Luke 9, 12 and 13. Late in the afternoon, the 12, these were these disciples, followers of Jesus, they came to him, meaning Jesus, and said, send the crowd away so they can go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. He, meaning Jesus, replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. So the setting is that, which is remarkable, these people have been following Jesus. And they've been following him around because this guy's an incredible healer and he's an incredible teacher. The reason why he's such an incredible healer and teacher, why he has this huge following, is he is bringing hope to the hopeless. He is seeing and healing people that have been kind of cast off by society. The predominant rational walk it's probably is if you were a leper, if you were blind, if you could not walk, it's probably something you or your family members did. And so within the religious world or with just in the social world, you exist out there. And Jesus walked boldly out there and said, no, you are children of God. His healing of them was only to bring everyone's awareness to the thing that had always been true, is they should be a part of this community. And he would reinstate them and bring them back within their community. So sometimes you see in these healings that Jesus would heal them and say, go to the temple. What he was doing is the temple, the center of worship, was the place where you got cleared. If you had had leprosy and you were cured, it's a place where they said, yes, you are cured, you're clear to go back into your community. He was reinstating them. You can't not see these people anymore because they're a part of your family. They're a part of this tribe. It's beautiful. It's remarkable. And so there's this huge following of people that want to be with him. And Jesus is teaching. It's getting later and later into the day. And they're like, wrap it up. So it's kind of like Cascade every Sunday at about 11:40, right? We're hungry, it's going long, I got kids downstairs, wrap it up. And so Jesus is teaching and he's going and the disciples are tapping his shoulder and he's smiling. He's like, he's teaching and he's going. And he's like, all right, let's go for 5, right? And he goes back, he's like, what's up, guys? What is so important? And they're like, people are hungry and they're tired. Now, if you know the context of the story, the disciples had just been sent out two by two to all the other parts of the region. They had gone out and healed and done things, and they had just come back to Jesus, and they were so excited to tell him about it. But before they could tell him all these different reports and just hang out with Jesus again after being away, this crowd came and Jesus started teaching. Another way of interpreting it is, we are tired and hungry, so send these people away to go get some food. We want some time with you. We want this moment. And I love that Jesus is like, well, you give them something to eat. You found the problem. Maybe now you can find the solution. And they say, okay. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There are 5,000. And when we say the feeding of the 5,000, you've probably heard this before. The unfortunate reality of the day is they only counted the men. So that 5,000 figure is very easily doubled, 10,000 when you include the women and children, and probably more likely, looking at family sizes of that day, it's up to the 12,000 to 15,000 people are there. Without a mic, without a microphone, Jesus is out teaching with these people. And they're like, you should go send them somewhere to eat. And Jesus says, you feed them. I'm like, well, we got this. I don't think my fingers can get pieces small enough to pass around, right? For 15,000 people. And then I'm pretty sure the accountant in the group, Matthew had been the tax collector, the guy that worked with money, is like, hey, I'm running the numbers. It's going to take a big hit into the disciple budget that we've been building up and kind of carrying around us, right? Like, there goes the slush fund. And it's a moment where we have this crisis and we have this thing, and what are we going to do? When we jump down to verse 16 and then verse 17, it says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he, Jesus, gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. 12 to 15,000 people, fairly conservative count. This, I'm all full. And ate. And then we're like, what do I do with this? I'm all full. 12 basketfuls left over at the end. This incredible miracle. Can you imagine if you had been there to see it? It would have blown your mind at, all I see is the lack. All I see is the thing we don't have. And actually, here we have this thing in abundance moments later. All I can see is at the end of the tunnel is darkness and debt and like failure. And here we are with abundance and plenty. How in the world did we get there? Now, here's the question I want us to consider. Is this a meal or is it a miracle? Is this a meal or is it a miracle? Now, based on how the story is told and based on our perspective too, we would say what? It's a miracle, right? It's a miracle. So if they were sitting in orderly rows, I know they weren't, I want you to think about it, the 15,000 people. What about the person in seat 12, row double Z? You know what I mean? The person in the back of the back of the back. And they're like, that Jesus guy's teaching really well. I appreciate his enunciation and his clarity because I can hear him. I like this whole break we're taking. What do you think those ants up there are talking about? I'm not sure. Hey, it looks like they're passing something around. All right. They thought of everything at this shindig, right? Well-planned thing. And then the food comes passing along to them. They grab the pieces of bread. They grab the fish and they eat. And they're like, these guys think of everything. This bread tastes a little different. It's wonderful. It's like a Wonder Bread, right? But other than that, like, this is just a really well thought through event. I don't know who's funding it, but I'd like to be their friend. You know what I mean? High five. They're loaded. We assume that every story we read was a miracle for everyone, because the way it's told to us is as a miracle. It's not true. I think for many in the crowd, this was a meal. I don't know that they got up and announced, "Hey everyone, just a quick note, I know you're enjoying your food. Right now you are participating in a miracle." Probably not going to believe this. We only had 5 of those loaves and 2 fish. So anyway, just keep eating up and enjoy, but this is directly from the hands of God. Okay, have a good one. Maybe word spread, but maybe word didn't spread to everyone. The reason why I love this story so much is that we assume that when the miracle happens in our life, when the thing that is outside of the realm of possibility happens, we'll all know it. We'll all be aware. All of our faith will be built and we'll say, yes, God is real. Christ is here. The kingdom of God is here. I don't think that's true. We just came from a region of the world where the miraculous is common. And there's all kinds of reasons and justifications that people from the West in the world, and you know what I mean by the global West, means these kind of industrialized countries say, well, yeah, these people have less education and training, so, you know, there's more miracles there than there are here. Give them a science book and there won't be. I don't think it's that. I actually don't think there are more miracles in the global South than there are here. I think there's more experienced miracles in the global South than there are here. Jesus kept using this line that I love. Those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Which begs the question, is there another kind of eyes? Are there another pair of ears that you can have? Yeah. The ones where we expect a certain kind of lifestyle. We expect a certain kind of thing. If you showed up at the speaking of Jesus and you expected to be fed, then guess what? It wasn't a miracle, it was an expectation, and it was met. Yay. There's this way where we turn the incredible blessings of God into expectations. I get into my car a lot, and in my car, I press that little button, right? The little start button. I'm like, it starts most every single time. I don't even think about it. But with a hybrid, I have a Prius that's been sitting. My wife didn't drive it for like 10 days, 12 days. When I got up this morning and realized, oh, I really should have tried that yesterday. Just to make sure the whole is going to start thing happens. I experienced the starting of my car differently this morning than I do most mornings. You know what I mean? Because I didn't just have the expectation, well, clearly it's going to start. Maybe it's not. And then you do that, like, oh, thank you, God. Right? We're so weird. How we do this and how we engage it. But a lot of it has to do with our expectations. What do we expect to happen? What do we expect to see is usually the delineation between the things that we are thankful for and the things that we say, well, no, duh. Of course, obviously. I'm ticked off when they get my drink order wrong. Why? Because I normally don't. I'm not thankful for all the times that they do. That's what they're paid to do. It's their job. Of course they should do it. But this, an outrage. Off with their head. Someone should lose their job. This is clearly whole milk and not soy. You know what I mean? We walk through a world that's a miracle. It's incredible. The technology that we see and work in every single day, and we just expect it. There's this hilarious and wonderful joke by the comedian Louis C.K. He talks about being in an airplane, and they announce on the flight, this is a number of years ago, that this is one of the first flights ever to be equipped with Wi-Fi. That you can get on your phone, and you can just browse the internet in the sky in an airplane. And he said the guy next to him is like, cool, and pulls it up, and he's going, and he's like, stupid internet doesn't work. And Louis C.K. said, you're disappointed with a technology that you didn't know existed 10 minutes ago. Like, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility 10 minutes ago, and already you're like, faulty technology, it doesn't even work. Why? Because our expectations have been climbing and growing, and we have this greater hunger and need for more comfort, for more things to go our way, for more things to be the way that we think they should be. And our list is big and heavy and overwhelming. And my question is in your list, in my list of expectations, where is there room for the miraculous? What does it take for us to say thank you, God, anymore? You didn't even part the sky and, you know, turn all the streets to gold and say, hey, shout out to Kurt Kroon. This is what I think is one of the most revolutionary acts of the followers of Christ. You want to lead a revolution? You want to revolutionize your life? Start being thankful for the little things. I woke up this morning. Praise God. It's awesome. I turned the handle of my sink and water came. That's incredible. While we were in Tanzania, it's the seasons are different, right? The different hemispheres, maybe you've heard of them. Down there, they're in their dry season. But one thing that's interesting about the town that we were in Arusha, is that their power is hydroelectric. So there were massive power outages all the time. About 50% of the time was their power in the place that we were staying. And you want to know what was fascinating? Every time the power dropped out, no one flinched. It just kept right on going. That happens. And when I got back home, I was thinking yesterday, do we have a candle? I know we have flashlights. The real question, do we have a working flashlight? And do I know where it is? The power just doesn't go off at my house. Like, it's always on. And I turn the handle of the sink and water comes out. And hopefully it doesn't take for us a trip to Tanzania to say thank you, God, for that. And just because it happens every day doesn't mean it's not a miracle. And just because a group of engineers designed how to do this and structured it doesn't mean it's not a miracle. It doesn't mean it's not amazing. It doesn't mean that you can't be thankful for it. And so what I think would be revolutionary for us this week is to have eyes for the mundane. The little things. What I want you to do is I want you to take a picture of every meal before you eat it and put hashtag blessed. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry. I was saying it and I'm like, we're doing this thing. It feels good. Don't do the joke. I'm like, nah, I really like it. What does it look like to reclaim the little thing in your life? The littlest thing. Maybe for you it's the starting of your car. Maybe for you it's the turning on your lights. Maybe for you it's the water running. Maybe for you it's just your backyard and being grateful that it's there. Maybe it's that you have a roof over your head. Maybe it's that you have a place to go during the day that's dry and warm. If you don't have any of those things, please come talk to me. But is there something small, is there something little that you can say, I am thankful for this? And not to take a picture of it and hashtag it, but maybe turn it into an opportunity of a prayer of thanksgiving Thank you, God, for this. This is amazing. Because I think it changes how we engage in the world. I think it revolutionizes the way we both see God, we see others, and we see ourselves. And it starts small. It's not like you do this once and you're like, every day is awesome now. No, when we build this in as a discipline, you know what a discipline is? A discipline is something that you do with repetition. And you do it past the point when you feel like doing it. It becomes this habit that you work into your life because you know that there's something on the other side of it that's going to produce in you the kind of person that God created you to be and the kind of person that you yourself want to be. I want to be a person who's thankful. Why? Because when I've met and encountered those people, they're just better. Their life is better. It's more enjoyable. They're a light. They are enjoyable to be around. They're a blessing to everybody because they keep on re-changing the perspective. They keep on re-shifting the way and the view of the world that quickly gets to entitlement and quickly gets into expectations. What if the plan for your family, what if the plan for your workplace, what if the plan for the place that you are is God wanted you to be that person? And you're like, no, you don't get it. At my workplace, I'm kind of the grump. It's my thing. See all the things that are wrong, and everybody just goes, oh, that guy or woman. Then I would say, yeah. Oh, gosh, does God want to use you? Because imagine that change. Imagine that shift. That's going to lead to some questions. You're acting funny. Is everything all right? Like it's either a stroke or it's Jesus when you have that kind of a life change. These are the good kind of questions that we want to bring up into what's different and to say, no, I started engaging in the world differently because I saw that God is here and God is now and there's something that I can be thankful even in this. And yes, I acknowledge the hard things. Yes, I acknowledge the pain. Yes, I acknowledge the difficulties. And you know what? Acknowledging those things doesn't stop me from also being thankful for these little things. If we always need big things to be thankful, there will never be enough. Because we'll just turn the big blessing into the next expectation. But if we abandon that whole structure, that whole chasing higher and higher and higher and needing more and more and more, and we subvert it into being thankful for the littlest, smallest things, oh, it changes you and it changes the world. And then we step into Thanksgiving Day and we're not surprised. We step into Thanksgiving Day and we have so much to talk about because our eyes become open to everything else. Big, it's beautiful. So the last slide that I have this morning, it's a question for us. It's a question for me. How can I reverse the process of turning blessings into expectations? With every new blessing in my own life becomes a new expectation. Yeah, that's the way that it is. It's the way it should be tomorrow. I gain, I accumulate, there are more blessings than I expect. Even more. There actually has to be even more for me to be impressed or to be thankful. But how do I turn that process around? How do I drill that thing backward to all of my expectations can now be blessings, can now be miracles, can now be things that I can be thankful for? It's a better way to live. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that we would be the thankful ones. God, I pray that you would keep us from being one of the 15,000, one of the greatest miracles recorded in Scripture, and to say, yep, that happened like it was supposed to. I pray that we would be the ones that wouldn't miss it. God, help us have eyes to see and ears to hear. God, I pray that we would pick one thing, one small part of our everyday life, and God, we would turn it into a prayer of thanksgiving. And God, I love that we don't have to ignore the hard parts of life or the hard things that we encounter to do that, that that can be true too. That both of these things can be true at the same time. I can be grateful for wanting water, and I can be sad about how hard work is, or how frustrating that relationship is, or how difficult a time I'm having in finding a job, or finding fulfillment, or finding hope in the world is. They can both be true. God, help us to be thankful. Help us to be awake and aware in this world. And God, I pray that it would lead a revolution in us and a revolution in those around us, that we would wake up to the miracle that we get to be a part of. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So would you stand up? So may you go and be people of gratitude and thanksgiving. May you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And may you turn those new awarenesses, those new pictures of things to be thankful and grateful for, into prayers to God, awareness into the ways that you are the blessed ones. Amen and amen. We'll see you next Sunday.